Moses, who was born at a time when it was illegal to be a male Hebrew. In fact, you had to go into the Nile if you were born male and a Hebrew. And so his mom and dad held him in 3 months of faith, and then you saw the supernatural provision to let him grow up for 40 years in the house of Pharaoh, and then for the next supernatural provision for the next 40 years to be undone from what he learned in the house of Pharaoh in the house of Jethro. But what always cracks me up is in the book of Acts, when Stephen is telling his story of Israel's testimony, he says that when it drew near, I thought, near? That's 80 years. What's near about 80 years? I mean, some of us don't even live that long. And yet you were starting that intentionality way back then. And it was so cool today because Brian Jackson, leading worship, he's our chief sound engineer. And awesome job, Brian. And we're really blessed, Cammy and I, because our son Nathan, our oldest son, and his fiance Rachel, would you guys stand up, came to be with us this weekend, and we're really pleased. Yeah. And in 2005, we would do a six-hour prayer watch right over there in the sanctuary every Monday night. Nathan was a part of that. Brian Jackson was a part of that. Allie was a part of that. And we would just pray for this generation. We just poured out our heart continually. Sang some of the songs we sang tonight, this morning. We were singing that night. And, you know, we would just go the distance as long as we could and just hold it up. We did that for like 3 years. And then everybody starts moving new places. Nathan's down to San Diego to got a new job, and Allie's off to Reading School. And then all of a sudden, it just as though these prayers are all of a sudden starting to come alive. And there's things that are birthing. The hardest thing about a promise is that I've learned that when you receive a promise from God, especially a scripture, you get to live the whole part of it. You know, the scripture always has that part about deliverance, but it usually means you're first going to feel the captivity and then experience the deliverance, and you carry that sound. So I want to ask God for all of us in this room, especially those that are 40 and over, that the Lord would reconcile us back to the King and give us the freedom to release and allow him to have his way, however that looks. To be able for God to bring forth the next generation forward, to release fulfillment, to be a part of their advancement, even as we saw last Sunday on Mother's Day. There's just that supernatural movement that takes the mothers and the fathers and the prophetic sound to see that next generation be placed by the decree of the King. So if you'll stand up, I want to just bless you, and then Allie is going to take the rest of the service to lead us. Dear Father, I thank you that precious to feel the collectiveness of movement forward. But it also, I understand, because of my own journey, the very crises of loss and disconnecting and not knowing how to navigate the turmoil and the upheavals that life brings or promises carry us through. I'm sure Moses never understood in most of that 80-year journey what was going on. Lord, I believe in this house, there are some 80, 90 years old. There's some that are 8 and 9 years old that you have set sovereignly into a destiny. And it's a liberation and to set up a generation free and to call forth things that we don't know how to do. But we do believe that there is the decree of the King. And when he makes a sovereign decree, things start to shift, no matter where we are, no matter what's happened. But Lord, today I ask for a blessing that each one of us, wherever we are in our journey, that you would reconcile our hearts back to you. Not by any works and not by any pressure of, oh God, we've missed our mark. Because you've made it clear in Scripture that when you need us, you know where we're at. And when you want us, you know how to get a hold of us. So Lord, we open our heart to allow you to do that. Not for us to do it, but we desire and welcome you to do it. Have your way, Father, and glorify your name in all of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Let's welcome Allison.
Yay, I feel so honored to be able to talk about Jesus in front of all of you guys. Yeah. Holy Spirit, I thank you so much for your presence in this place. It's just so strong. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. Father, I just pray that you just walk up and down each row of chairs and just start touching people, Father. This caused everyone's eyes, including mine, to be so fixed on you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, about 2 months ago, God dropped in my spirit in John 21, where he says, Peter, do you love me? Go feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? A third time, go feed my sheep. And I thought he was telling me that because I was focused on the phrase, feed my sheep. And I was like, okay, Lord, okay. Okay, I can do that. I don't know what that really means. And he kind of took me on this journey about the do you love me part of it. Which is so beautiful and so powerful. He had me read about the life of Jesus and about the way that Jesus behaved and the way that Jesus believed when he was here on earth. And he told me, Allie, you know, there's the kingdom of heaven, which you belong to, which I belong to, which Jesus belongs to. There's the kingdom of this world, which is circumstances and the things we can see and the things we feel and fear and doubt and unbelief and all of our like frailties and all of our past and all of our junk and all of that stuff. And he was like, you know, it's you belong to the kingdom of heaven now because of Jesus, because you've given yourself over to him. But you don't have to step into that place if you don't want to. Like, that's actually a choice. You actually get to choose, like, right, there's all this stuff. There's wind and waves and all of this stuff. Right now I'm looking at the winds and the waves and I don't see you. But I can actually step into a place of like, wait a second, I don't belong to the kingdom of this world. I belong to a Father who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I started reading about Jesus and things that he did when he was on the earth. And I felt like the Father told me, Allie, so when I was in the boat and there was wind and waves and I was sleeping, he was like, what kingdom do you think I chose to be in? Obviously, it was his kingdom. And he started kind of taking me on a journey of like what it means to choose to be in the kingdom of God. Jesus stood firm the whole time he was here on this earth in his identity. I'm a son. I'm the son of the living God. He never once wavered. Not one time was he afraid. Not one time was he thinking, oh my gosh, you sent me here to die for the world. You sent me here because I'm the son of God, perfect one, love personified. When people started telling him, you're not the son of God. Who do you think you are? Not once did he question, I don't know. Maybe I'm not who I thought I was. I'm not sure. He always knew who he was. He always knew, I'm the son of God. I've come here for a purpose. Even when he was being led to the cross, it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. It was because he wasn't so part of this world and eyes on what was happening around him and what people were saying and accusations. But he was so in another realm. He was so fixed on the kingdom of heaven that he only did what he saw his Father doing. He didn't even move around on this earth like a normal human being, tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine, everything that tries to come his way. And he had pretty intense stuff come his way. And he just was immovable and unshakable. He started telling me, you know, I am the truth. I am the truth. I can't step out of it. Like, I can't. I am truth. So in the midst of all the noise and in the midst of all the chaos that was happening around Jesus, in the midst of the wind and the waves, the physical stuff that was even happening around him, it was like, I can't even be a part of it. That's not my kingdom. My kingdom says I have a father and he takes good care of me. And unless the father decrees something over my life, it just can't happen. I belong to a different kingdom. I wanted to read the definition of kingdom. Royal power, kingship, dominion, rule. It's the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. I felt like the Lord wanted me to say this morning that we belong to a different kingdom, that we've given ourselves over to a king that's not the world's system. How do I know? Because he moves in miracles, signs, and wonders. He moves in peace. He moves in an overabundance. He reminded me yesterday of, I work with little kids, so I love the sound of like babies and little kids. But he reminded me yesterday of one day we have a monthly lunch, the interns, and so there was like four tables set up, and I had put like vases on each table with flowers in it, and I got a little pitcher of water, and I knew I was gonna throw the flowers away after the lunch, so I just put a little bit of water, like I started walking around to the tables and putting a little bit of water in each one. And I felt convicted, and I felt like God said, put more water in. And I was like, God, I don't understand. Like, I'm going to throw these flowers away as soon as the lunch is done. I'm not going to keep them. Like, I know they're going to stay alive until the end of the lunch. Like, I don't see the purpose in filling them with water. And he told me it's against my nature to leave something halfway. Like, it's actually against who I am. When I come and I fill up, I fill up. Like, I don't just fill to the top. I fill up and overflowing. Like, that's my nature. It actually goes against who I am to say, like, well, this is enough for you. Like, this, you can go this far and no more. Like, no, that's not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the Lord showing up on the scene and doing exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And it's okay if it's impossible. That's actually okay. And he's not intimidated by that. I love that I can ask my Father, like, God, here's my impossible situation. Here's what I'm facing. Here's the mess up I just did back there. How are you going to help me through this? And even if within myself I have no resource, it's like, but I have a Father that has all resource in heaven. And it brings him joy. Like, he counts that as faith. When we say, like, here's my little bit, God, I believe that I belong to a kingdom that's not of this world. So here, you take it and you do something with it. So bringing it back to, this is John 21. This is all John 18 through 21. Peter, who was a friend of the Lord, is a friend of the Lord, of Jesus. I mean, he was part of like his inner circle of friends. He went with Jesus to go pray. Like, he was counted as a friend, as an intimate person in Jesus's life. When they came to take Jesus away, Peter denies Christ three times. I don't know the man. I don't know the man. I don't have anything to do with him. So Jesus dies on the cross, again, completely unshaken by the fact that his friend just denied him, unshaken, immovable. Jesus is who Jesus is 100% of the time. He's love, he's faithful, he is strong, he's mighty, he never changes or wavers. But I put myself in the place of Peter, and I was thinking, like, God, I would be so beside myself, like, oops. That, like, not only was that a huge mistake, but I thought I loved you. Like, I actually really thought I loved you. I actually thought I would give my life for you if I was Peter. Like, that, those were his words. And Jesus never questioned that for a second, you know. And so Jesus returns after he was dead. He rose from the grave. Again, Jesus, victorious all the time. So he rises from the dead. He comes back to earth. This third visitation of Jesus on the earth. He asks Peter, Well, let's just read it. So this is John 21, verse 15. So they had eaten breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." That word, so he said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape love me?" It's the perfect love. That's the way God loves us, agape love. More than these. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I, phileo, love you," which is an affection. He asked him again. He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Do you agape love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I, phileo, love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you, phileo, love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I, phileo, love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Jesus immovable. Jesus asking him, "With what manner do you love me, Peter?" I don't think Jesus was thinking, "You don't love me, and I'm trying to get that out of you." No. Peter loved Jesus. Jesus knew Peter loved Jesus. But I feel like there was an exchange that needed to happen. Jesus had use of Peter, and he actually was a friend of Peter. So, verse 18, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." I never heard Jesus say, "You need to have perfect love towards me, Peter. This is the kind of love I have towards you. I expect that you're going to get it together and give me perfect love." But Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus, that's what Jesus originally told Peter before any of that stuff happened when he originally called him, "Drop your nets, follow me." I feel like Jesus is saying, "I'm restoring you to the current place where you were at before. You've lost nothing. I'm telling you the same thing I told you before you failed. Follow me. Follow me." The perfect one, the immovable one, the one that never makes any mistakes, the one that's love personified. Follow me. Because it's not Peter's greatness that people need. It's Jesus. It's Jesus inside of him. Yeah. I love that Peter didn't say, "No, Lord, I don't know. I don't think I love you, I must not." I love that Peter had to declare three times that he loved Jesus out of his own mouth. "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." Was it perfect? I don't know. But "Yes, Lord, I love you." I feel like that's warfare. "Peter, do you love me?" I don't know what I would have said. I probably would have been like, "I don't know. I failed. You gave me a task to do. I said I would do all these things. I didn't keep my end of the bargain. I said I would give my life for you. I denied you three times. Like, I failed." But Peter was like, "Yes, I love you." Even he was probably trembling a little bit. Was it perfect? No. Did his heart love Jesus? Yes. "I love you, I love you, I love you." Three times, the amount of times that Peter denied Christ. "I love you, I love you, I love you." What happened? I feel like Peter stepped out of the kingdom of this world and took a step towards, like, I know what circumstances tell me, but Jesus, you know I love you. You know I love you, God. And in my spirit, I know I love you. There's been times in my life where God's given me a word, You're a woman of great faith. I can list so many times in my life where I feel like that doesn't seem like that's true. But I have to make the conscious choice to be like, oh, well, world. Oh, well, situations and circumstances and feelings. I actually don't belong to that kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of my God. And I'm choosing to say, sorry, enemy, I'm a woman of great faith. Period. How do I know that? Because that's the word of the Lord to me. I follow the voice of my king, and the voice of a stranger I won't follow. I want to invite the interns to come up, because I believe that they're carrying something that they want to release, and I want to make sure I give them enough time. I feel like is the heart of the Father. We've been spending 9 months just taking this journey into like, how does the Father view us? Identity, love, like truth. It's amazing how much I've allowed all the little voices and all the circumstances and all the unfulfilled promises and all of that stuff sometimes to distract me from like, wait a second, what did God say? Like, Jesus, I'm loved by you. I love you. You're using me. I have a bright future. Like, all of those things is like that conscious choice of like, I know I belong to you, Father, but I'm stepping into a place of a daughter. Like, I know I already am. You've adopted me. But there's that, he allows us the honor of saying like, oh, wait a second. Okay, now I'm ready. I'm a daughter. I'm well cared for by you, Father. And there's nothing we can't do together. It's like, yes, you know, with Christ, I can do all things. I can't do anything apart from him. Guess what? I'm never going to be apart from him. That's actually not even a reality in my life. It will never be a reality. With you, I can do all things. You're with me all the time. Like, you actually live on the inside of me. It's a confidence in Jesus. It's like, God, I'm confident. When I moved down here and I knew that we were going to do the internship and all of that stuff, it was tempting to feel like I don't actually really know how to do this. Like, I've led like a prayer meeting, I've led a dance to little girls. Like, I've led some things, but I feel really like, wow, okay, God, let's do this. That's okay. And the only thing he ever told me was, I have your back. That's it. I was like, God, I would love like this like wordy, like humongous promise that I can, you know, when tough times come, I can say, no, this was the promise of the Lord. He's going to do X, Y, Z. All he ever said to me, I have your back. Silence. Like, and then the next time I would pray, like, I would really love a word from you. I have your back. And I feel like he was saying, like, that's good. Like, that's good. I have your back. You don't need to know anything else. You have a huge question mark regarding something in your life. He has you. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know how this, that, and the other. I'm sure Peter didn't know, like, okay, follow you. What does that look like now? Like, I have no idea. Except that he got a word from the Lord. Like, it's all going to be okay, Peter. Like, I've restored you. It's okay. Yeah. So I'm going to hand it to the interns because we have a little bit of time left. I'm just going to pray over you first. Father, I just thank you for this group of people, Father. I thank you for the great faith that rests in this room. I feel like there might be people that have said in their heart, like, I actually don't even know what I believe. I actually feel like lost. Like, I'm not even sure what I believe about the Lord right now. And I feel like God's really touching that place, and there's an opportunity to stand in the kingdom of our God and just declare what he's already told you to be true. So, Father, I just lift up every heart in this place, God. I lift up every word that you've spoken to our hearts, Father, every good thing that you've planted inside of our heart, God. And I pray, Father, that you bring it up, Father. I declare life over promises. I declare life over hearts in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Father, that you never change. You never change, Father. You always remain powerful. You always remain the King in our lives, Father. And so we just give you our lives again, Father. I give you my heart. I give you our life. I give you our mess ups, our shortcomings, everything that has to do with us, God. I give it all to you. And I say, Father, if anyone can redeem, it's you. So I just thank you, Father, for being our Redeemer this morning. In Jesus' name, yeah, amen.
I just want to release a prayer over us. Father, I thank you, Lord. I just release and impart, Lord, that just that simplicity, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there's grace, Father, that you are pouring out your grace, Lord, drawing us to that place where we first encounter you, Lord. Daddy, I thank you, Lord, for every heart in this place, Daddy, that you draw us, God, on our knees, just as your sons and daughters, God, before you, Father. I thank you for unhindered access, Lord, to see you, Lord, as our Father, knowing us, Lord, knowing everything about us, and fully loving us and embracing us, Father. I thank you for that access, Father, 24/7, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.
The Lord just kept giving me the word thankful, so I'm going to lead us in a prayer of thankfulness. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you, thank you, thank you for choosing us, Lord. Thank you that you have chosen us, that you have come over our hearts and filled our hearts, Lord. Thank you for our broken testimonies. Thank you that we have those testimonies and we're able to walk in faith and know that you are going to guide us and lead us, Lord. Thank you for always showing up. We have so much to be thankful for, Jubilee, and he wants to hear our prayers of thankfulness. Thank you for keeping us well, Lord. Thank you for protecting us, and thank you for always being there and sending your angels. Amen.
I'm going to share a testimony. I asked Allison. She said it was okay, and I want to actually share this testimony before. I wasn't planning on coming today. I didn't know if I could make it. Praise God, I did. And it's about a testimony. So if you haven't seen the first service, I encourage you, please do so. Jordan and Aubrey really released a refreshing anointing. And I'm not going to share their testimony. It's not mine to share. It's theirs. So I really encourage you to watch it first. But this is actually a couple of weeks before Cindy Jacobs came. I hit my foot. My dog tripped me, and I hit my foot against the wall. And the way that I did it, my dog was like, what's going on? I'm sorry. I was upset, but it hurt. And something I didn't share, I didn't even share this with the internship. When Cindy Jacobs was up and she says, like, if the Lord healed you, come up, even if it's your little toe. And this is the part that I hit right here. And I didn't go up because I didn't get healed yet. And it wasn't because I didn't have faith, but it's because I knew that at the moment, it wasn't something I should share with the whole congregation at that moment. It was between something with God and I. So I didn't go up. But I knew that the Lord was giving me a promise, okay? A prophecy that wasn't coming to pass yet. That was Friday night. I hit my foot like 2 weeks before. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to be healed, you know. Before Cindy Jacobs came, I said, Lord, it would be funny if she said something about a small toe, and she did. And I didn't go up. I didn't get healed Friday, didn't get healed Saturday, didn't get healed Sunday, and I was like, Lord, what is going on? I was actually more blessed of the luncheon of my pastor, Pastor Steve, and the internship sharing. I got more out of that than what Cindy Jacobs was releasing. Not because of Cindy Jacobs, but because the Lord was using my church to heal me. Now, my mom, she has her beautiful, anointed fingers and the oils that she has, and she would anoint my hands like, Mom, something that I struggle with, and maybe some of you struggle, so praise God if I can share this. I struggle with complaining. Mom, my foot, it stings. It really stings really bad. She's like, Jordan, stay on your promise. So I did. It's been like a month and a half now, and I had to finally go to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, they got x-rays, and I did. I fractured my foot. But it was such a small fracture, and he says, we can't do anything about it. Even if you came 5 weeks ago, there's nothing I can do about it. It was healing on its own. And I thank God, because even though the Lord gave me a promise, these testimonies, you know, the Lord gave them a promise, and they lived off that promise. And I'm telling you, church, now, when the Lord gives you a promise and it doesn't come to pass at that specific moment, it doesn't mean that the Lord is not faithful to you. You have to understand, like, I shared this when we were praying, that someone was preaching that until the Lord opens a door for you, you praise him in the hallway. Because the Lord is faithful and he deserves to be praised in the hallway. My foot still stings. It's not completely healed. But it doesn't mean that my testimony is not complete. And I don't care if I'm speaking to one specific person or even the people online. The Lord loves you. Just because you're streaming on a computer does not mean that the anointing of God can't go to you. You know, Israel, or, you know, Abraham was promised, you know, many sons. And, you know, he still didn't really get to see his promise how we are today. You know, we're seeing the testimony or the promise that God has gave him complete today. And he's not able to see. I mean, he sees it in heaven, but he was not able to see until he died. And I'm telling you right now, just because God gives you a word does not mean he's not going to bring it to pass. My foot still hurts. I'm helping. You know, the reason why I'm wearing sandals is because, well, I love sandals. But it's because my foot hurts when I have shoes. But I'm not limited by the shoes. Just because I have sandals on does not mean that our faith is small. You know, Allison was saying that, I'm sorry, I need to wrap it up because I want to give them time as well. But, you know, Allison was saying that, you know, the Lord is faithful in all things. You give all glory unto God. And I'm telling you, Jubilee, and the people on streaming, give God all the glory. Give God all the glory. God is faithful from the beginning to the end. It might not be your timing, but your timing is not the perfect time. God's timing is the perfect time. It's not the process of getting your destiny. It's the process of how did you get there? From where you were before, where you are now. Like I tell you, seriously, watch the first service, because Jordan and Aubrey, from where they were, where they are now, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm not going to share their testimony. It's not mine to share. And your testimony is what you have to share. It's not the person to the left or the person to the right of you. It's not how jealous you are of a person, even if it's someone from the own church, or, oh, this person dances, or, oh, this person, she sings, a beautiful singer. I don't have that gift. God has been giving you a specific gift. God has given you your specific story. If you don't have a testimony, this is your testimony. Jesus Christ is your testimony. Revelations 12:11 says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is your testimony. So I just thank you, God, for just how great you are. And just, I encourage you, like, you know, seriously, if you can have the time and do the internship, because you learn a lot. And I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the people who are streaming online.
Well, I just want to thank all of you guys and thank the Lord for the last 9 months. I know there have been so many people praying for all of us interns. And so the last 9 months for me have definitely been a transformative 9 months. The Lord's hand was upon me, just like shaping me. And I know that he moves just by those prayers. And thank you, Steve, for just the direction, just giving us that foundation. And I just want to thank you, Father, for the generation before me and before us, for making them a blessing in the earth. And I just ask that you continue to make my generation a blessing in the earth, so that we can, so that blessings can just go back and forth. I thank you for what you're going to do during the next internship. I thank you that it's just going to even build upon what you already did.
So it's awesome hearing all these testimonies, because it's like, you know, God works all things for good who love God according who love God and are called according to his purpose. And the funny thing about God is, you know, because the enemy tries to come at us with this whole arsenal, and he thinks he's winning. But then God just goes, boop, turns the tables, and everything is, the game has changed. Because God was always in control. So when the enemy comes at us, he already sees the other side. Because we may, what we say is a curse or as an obstacle, he sees the blessing and the learning experience on the other side. Because everything is a learning experience. No matter what it is, good, bad, you know, neutral, there's always something to learn. And that's, you know, just the cool thing about life and, you know, and God, because, I mean, you see all those. He loves to point those out. It's always a discovery. And, you know, everything that comes against you guys, you know, God's turning it for good. And, you know, and not only is he turning it, you know, for good of equal value, but he's multiplying it. And so, like, you know, everything that's you know, been against you guys, we just return it back to you, you know, multiplied as a blessing, you know, in the form of, you know, jobs, you know, money, ideas, you know, talents, you know, everything multiplied, because he's the God of creativity, and he's the God of, you know, provision, and he's the God of the impossible. So, you know, like with my testimony, I mean, just dream big, see what happens, and, you know, you're surely to be surprised, you know, what he does. So it's amazing to hear these testimonies to see, you know, what God does in people's lives, because, I mean, he's constantly doing, he's always up to crazy stuff, having a lot of fun, you know, turning what the devil does into something amazing, because he's creative like that. That's just what he does. So it's just really awesome to observe that.
I got this scripture last night, and I think it goes along great with what Ali is saying. Proverbs 3:5, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding.
I just want to pull on the love that I feel the Father and Holy Spirit have brought into the room today. Because obviously, if you were here in the morning, just the message that Aubrey and Jordan shared was just amazing, and just the love that the Father's just brought into their lives, and now they're giving it back. And I just feel like that's what we're all trying to do here and why we're in this thing. And, you know, we love the Father, and now we just want to give back. And so I just bless everyone here, and just, you know, open your hearts to receive from the Holy Spirit whatever he wants to give you. And that if you're broken and empty, the love would just be filling you up to the top, not halfway, but all the way to the top. And that anyone who is full with love, it would just be given out to everyone else who needs it, because you don't know whose life you can change today. So just go love on the people you can and receive from the Holy Spirit.
Hey, I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, but I really felt the Holy Spirit telling me to share, so I'm going to. Before the internship had started, the Lord gave me a song. It's like a little melody, so I'm just going to release it over the body because I've been holding it. You are the potter, and I am the clay. You shape me and form me. You give and take away. My God, you are holy, and I trust solely in you. In your hands I will stay. Yes, cause you are the potter, yeah, and I am the clay. You shape me and form me, you give and take away. You are the potter, Lord, and I am the clay. You shape me and form me, you give and take away. You are making me beautiful. You are making me beautiful. Oh, Lord, take away anything that does not bring you glory. Take away anything, God, that does not bring you glory. Fashion it for me, Lord, to be more like you. May I see your reflection as I gaze into your eyes. Yeah, Lord, may I see your reflection as I gaze into your eyes. Cause you are the potter, yeah, and I am the clay. You shape me and form me, you give and take away. You are the potter, Lord, and I am the clay. You shape me and form me, you give and take away. I want your love to shine, I want your love to shine. As I am a vessel formed in your image and for your glory. Yeah, I am a vessel, Lord, formed for you by your hands. Cause you are the potter, yeah, and I am the clay. You shape me and form me, you give and take away. You are the potter, Lord, and we are the clay. You shape us and form us, Lord, you give and take away. Cause you are the one who makes me new. You are the one who makes us new. Transform me, Lord. Transform us, Lord, to be more and more like you.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Beautiful and bold.
Do you know who you are? Church, do you know who you are? Do you know that you are the daughter and the son of the King of Kings? The King of Kings. Go out and tell all the marvelous works that I have done to your neighbor, to your friend, to your son, to everyone. And church, keep going. The best is yet to come for us. The best is yet to come for us.
Ah, good gracious, Holy Father, so freely as I received, Father God, the richness of your heart, Father God, you called me into the Father's heart, Father God, I now release over to your body, Father God, I declare, Father God, a seed of discovery in every heart here, Father God, and by the water of your salvation, Father God, I believe in my heart, in the name of Jesus, that that seed will grow, causing explosive encounters of grace and truth, Father God, and that seed will multiply and multiply and multiply, Father God, and these hearts here, Father God, will be able to step inside, Father God, as in you created us for, and just a sweet fellowship, Father God. So I just declare that seed of fellowship in each heart here, Father God, and I thank you for your Holy Spirit that will hover over that seed and protect it, Father God. Father God, just let them, I pray in the name of Jesus, that you would reveal to them, Father God, the body, how precious your heart and how much it burns for them, Father God, how much you love them, Father God. And I'm so thankful, Father God, to have learned, or just even just a little fraction, Father God, for I'll never be able to fully comprehend your heart, Father God, but I'll be discovering it all the days of my life, Father God. So I just declare that over the congregation, Father God, and Jesus be with you. Amen.
The word that I heard the Lord speak was hope, and I felt like he was saying that he was going to rekindle that hope. Before I became a believer, I had no hope whatsoever. There was nothing that I was holding on to for sure, that knowing without a shadow of a doubt was going to be there for me. But now I have hope. I have hope in Jesus. And I just felt like he was saying that he was going to rekindle that hope, that first love, when he first called you to him, just like Allie was saying when he told Peter, follow me. So I felt like he was just saying that he was going to rekindle that hope to where you are just setting your heart just and your eyes towards him. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that that we have hope in you, Father God, that in the midst of any trials or circumstances or sickness, disease, job loss, anything that's going on, Father God, we have our hope in you, Father God, a good dad who loves us, who cares for us unconditionally, who gives freely, who is always there and who is steadfast and who never runs out of love, never runs out of anything that we'll ever need and is always there for us. And I just thank you for rekindling that hope.
I love the Lord because his word is clean and pure and he washes us his bride. And so I just want to, I want him to speak his pure word through me. John chapter 14. And I believe that when he's speaking his word through me into our spirits, it does not return void. That is what is written. And so, Lord, I ask that you would speak your word into the spirit of each one of your saints. You would wash her, your bride. You would revive her. And, Lord, I thank you for your pure word. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back to you and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be with me also. And where I am going, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known the Father, you would have known me also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, Philip, and still you don't know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. And then dropping down, he says, these things I have spoken to you while being with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he'll bring to remembrance, your remembrance, the things that I've spoken to you. Let not your heart, your peace I leave with you. My shalom I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. And then I was taking a walk the other day and just troubled. And he spoke that word to me, and don't let your heart be troubled, dear one. And this hymn, the Lord Jesus put hymns in my spirit. And then later they come back to me at a time when I'm in need. And so I was just saying this hymn with little tiny faith and just kind of whispered it out. And then I went to take a walk, and he brought it right to my iPod. It shuffled right to my iPod, and I just want to share it with you as well. It's Eric Little. Eric Little was missionary to China, you know, Chariots of Fire. And this was his favorite hymn, and it's one of mine too. And I know, he says, keep being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So I just want to speak it over into your spirit. It's called Be Still My Soul. I'm not going to sing it because I don't have a singing voice. But be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently thy cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake. Oh, no, be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The winds and waves still know the voice of him who stilled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart, and all is dark in the valley of tears. Then shall thou better know his love and his heart, who comes to soothe thy sorrows and thy tears. Be still, my soul, thy Jesus will repay from his own fullness all he takes away. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fears are gone, sorrows forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears shall be past, all safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Be still, my soul. Sing on thy songs of praise, on earth believing to thy Lord on high. Keep acknowledging him in all thy words and ways. He so views you with a well-pleased eye. Be still, my soul, the sun of life divine, through passing clouds shall more brightly shine. So I thank you, Lord, for blessing your people with strength of the Holy Spirit and with your shalom. And I ask this in Jesus' name, who is the Prince of Shalom. Amen.
I don't really have much to share or talk about, but just to be an example of just a season I'm going through of brokenness and woundedness, and how the Lord can use that out there for ministry. And that's all I have. So even if I have to stay in this season, when I'm out there, if my gifts aren't working in the church, when I walk out the door, they work. So I'm just saying, even if you're going through this season right now, Jesus can use you to help other people. And that's
absolutely. Yeah, amen. And just to piggyback on that, I really feel like the Lord is saying, you know, I just want to release courage to all of you guys. Courage to speak what God is doing in your life, even if you don't know the end of the picture. And I'm really excited about God stirring up us ministering to our neighbors, to the little girl down the street. I think we all know a couple of kids in our neighborhood or teens going through a hard time, or people who just need to feel the love of God. So I just release the courage, and Holy Spirit, that you would be our remembrance, that you would just prompt us and remind us and say, remember that testimony, remember that word, and Father God, that we all have the courage to act on that.
So the Lord has been telling me lately to abide, to abide in him. And He wants me to release that he's going to help everybody find their true place in him. He said, find your place in me. And I feel like that's kind of what Ali was saying, was we don't belong of the world, but to find our place in the kingdom. So, so let me just pray that out. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for just everybody here and for everybody's patience for staying this long. And Lord, I just pray, God, that this week that you would just come to us, God, in our dreams and while we're driving, Lord, and that you would help us to find our place in you. And I just release that now to everybody. And I just pray that you would help us to abide. Just help us to abide and just be, we receive the comfort, and we receive. Some of us, our receivers are broken. So the Lord wants to restore that. So he wants us to receive. So thank you, Lord, for helping us receive now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. We love you guys. God bless you guys. Have an amazing day full of intimacy and love. God bless you.